The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from teenvogue.com, Trump-Harris debate brought relief to young voters in swing states. This article was written by Tony Odejimi, Lizzie Ramirez, Tori Gantz, and Emanuela Agyemang on September 11th. And there is a note. This story was written by Teen Vogue's 2024 student correspondents, a team of college students and recent graduates covering the election cycle from key battleground states. The first and potentially only 2024 presidential debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris is in the books. Many news outlets and commentators are calling the Tuesday night event a win for the Democratic nominee, who voiced strong support for reproductive rights and managed to bait her Republican opponent into tangents about crowd sizes and false claims about immigrants eating people's pets. But we wanted to hear directly from young people about how they felt watching the two candidates face off. Teen Vogue's 2024 student correspondents went to watch parties on university campuses in Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, as well as an LGBTQ+ bar in Arizona, to get reactions. Overwhelmingly, the students and young workers we spoke to agreed that Harris did well. Many said her performance shored up their confidence in casting a vote for her. But some also felt dismayed that the candidates danced around the questions, failing to provide straightforward answers on how they plan to reduce the costs of basics like groceries or the U.S.'s military support for Israel in the war on Gaza. Hear more from young voters below. These comments have been condensed and lightly edited for clarity. Nevada. University of Nevada, Reno, Center for Student Engagement Watch Party. Carolina Silva, 20, junior at UNR. I feel pretty much the same as I felt before. I agree with a lot of Harris's opinions and policies, but I do feel like both candidates kind of evaded a lot of questions and sort of took to taking shots at one another instead of focusing on the task at hand. So that was a little disappointing. I would say that she definitely has my vote at this point in time. I think it's time that we have a woman president, first of all, and I think that, you know, she can really do a lot for our country if she just focuses on what's best for the country. I think she did a really good job at keeping herself accountable, and also taking a stance and being able to combat Trump in a way that's respectful but also effective. Kalena Gansenia, 18, freshman at UNR. I love her. She sounds like a very intelligent woman, and I'm excited to see the election and her winning. There was one where she didn't really address the climate change issue, but it's fine. I liked her response on Palestine because she wants to find a solution for both Israel and Palestine. I think it's the only real solution to it because the U.S. can't just end their alliance with Israel without pissing them off. And she doesn't want to see Palestinians dying. No one wants to see them dying. So I think her response to it was good. Edward Light, 19. Sophomore at UNR. At this point, I'm going to vote for her. I am just kind of happy I get to watch a candidate that I don't have to worry about going, "We beat Medicare," which Joe Biden said in the first debate against Trump. I was a little disappointed on the Palestine response, but, I mean, It was kind of expected. Her January 6th answer was really good. That was really good. That was one of the best debate moments I've seen. Grayson Ramirez Gartner, 18, freshman at UNR. I liked a lot of her viewpoints tonight. I was really scared of what she was going to say about Hamas and Gaza and stuff, but I think she stands pretty clear, and it's something that I agree with. I'm pretty confident in her, and she's getting my vote. Pennsylvania. Lehigh University, Black Student Union, Watch Party. Aminata Kulibaly, 21, senior at Lehigh and vice president of the BSU. I'm confident, but I don't like her position on Israel, because I don't believe that there is a neutral situation in the matter. I believe that you can support the Palestinians and the innocent Palestinians that are being killed, or you can support the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces. Eddie Fuhrer, 21, senior at Lehigh. I'd still want to see them do a bit less question dodging. I think with both candidates, I'd like to see them talk a bit more about inflation, talk a bit more about concrete solutions. You know, how am I going to go to the grocery store and pay less for eggs or milk or bread? I think Kamala is doing an okay job of calling out Trump for lying. But then, at the same time, I want to see a bit less of that, and I want to see a bit more solutions. Justin Burrell, 20, senior at Lehigh and vice polemarch of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity, Inc. I'm very excited about this incoming election, especially being in a state like Pennsylvania, where it's very important for every individual to vote. By having events such as the Black Student Union's Debate Watch Party, people can come out, learn about what's happening, learn about the topics, and then make the educated vote. I'm all in support of Vice President Harris. I think she has a great track record and is set to do great things. And I'm really excited to watch my peers vote and myself vote and hope that we are able to get things done. Insikana Bazi Akpan, 20, sophomore at Lehigh and marketing chair of the BSU. With the growing polarization between the two parties, or our two main parties, I've started to feel a little more weary of politicians and what they have to say. And although I think she speaks with great character, and she has a lot of facts, and she backs up everything that she says, I do feel that a lot of it is disingenuous, and the same goes for former President Trump. They were dancing around a lot of the questions. So, all in all, although I do feel more secure with Kamala as a president, I think I'm a little bit more hesitant just to be more to be a follower of what they said. Arizona, Cobalt, an LGBTQ plus bar in Phoenix. Brianna Zive, 27, program specialist for a nonprofit. Abortion might be something that's not talked about within families or within people that chat at a bar, but it's something that we need, and women's rights shouldn't be a conversation anymore. It shouldn't have to be a conversation that we should have the right to our own bodies, or just anybody that identifies as someone with a uterus. I appreciate Kamala's stance on making sure that we have gun laws and policies in place so we can make sure that we don't have kids being shot in schools and making sure that people use them properly and that we don't need AK-47 rifles anywhere anyways. The thing that Trump is saying in the debate that he keeps saying, well, Kamala has had 4 years to do this. She is the vice president. First and foremost. Second, we have a Senate that gets to decide on this, policies and laws, and she can say, or the president actually can say, what laws and policies we want to put in place. But that doesn't mean that we can get it through, because we have more people that have to make a decision. He's talking about dictatorship. Izzy Chavez, 21, barista. I was happy Harris was running, but I was worried it wasn't enough, and it was too late in the election, and I was worried about her momentum and stuff like that. But after tonight, I feel a lot more relieved. There needs to be more conversations about the Israel and Gaza conflict. I think they dance around that a lot, and I think that's a really big topic that can get a lot of young voters in, and I think that they're not taking advantage of that. I still feel like a lot of people my age are not voting as much, which sucks. It sucks, especially in Arizona. It's just like, it's such a 50-50 with people, especially young people. It's like, you're either really involved or you're not involved at all. It's disappointing that she's not trying to get more younger voters. She plays it safe, and I feel like there's a lot of policies that are old and a lot of ways of thinking that are just redundant. Hannah Bennett, 26, works in philanthropy. I feel really good about Harris as a candidate and really, really excited. When Kamala was talking about abortion specifically, that touched a lot of feelings and emotions for me, and I thought her responses were excellent. And then just everything else that Donald Trump said just icked me out. I'm going to be so honest. This whole entire year is like the most I've involved myself in politics in my entire life. So I don't even really know what to compare it to. I really wanted to make it a goal this year to understand more about why I vote Democrat and why I'm a liberal, instead of just being like, this is how I vote. I wanted to understand more about it, and I felt like doing this was important, and I want to be out with my friends too. Being at Cobalt, it feels like a really safe space, being a queer person, to be able to encompass both those things, learning more about politics and being around safe people. It felt like this was the right thing to do. Georgia. Georgia State University Campus Watch Party. Robin Copeland, 18, a freshman psychology major at GSU. I definitely feel more confident in Harris now, especially because of all her information. Seems to be a lot more backed by information. And I know her past as a prosecutor, and being in the Senate kind of makes her feel more respectable to me, or trustworthy than Trump. She would make a genuine critique on him, and he's just going, oh, you suck. Just not really any basis behind it. So I felt a lot more confident with the debate with Harris than the one with Biden. Jared Evans, 20, a sophomore nursing major at GSU. I feel like whoever wins, if Kamala Harris wins, our country is going to fall apart from the inside. And if Trump wins, it's going to fall apart from the outside because Trump's for closing the borders and stuff. So my view did kind of change. I feel like both of them are still full of crap. But if it's the lesser of evils, I might go Trump just because economic-wise and closing the border-wise. Anne George, a 19-year-old sophomore film and media political science major at GSU. When the candidates were asked the question, how are you going to handle the Israel-Hamas war going forward? They didn't lay out a specific plan. Trump said that if he was president, this wouldn't have ever started, which isn't a plan to help the situation going forward. I think what Kamala said about trying to ensure security for both the Israelis and Palestinians doesn't really help her with her target audience. Her target audience is Democrats, the youth vote, people of color, all these important votes. Most people don't support the situation, the bombing of Gaza, the genocide happening. Jada E., 22, a freshman film and media major at GSU. It was a stark difference of uncomfortability when it came to Trump's kind of candid response and nonchalance toward the fear that a lot of assigned females at birth feel when it comes to having their rights basically stripped away. Harris was saying that she was going to reinstate and re-empower us. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. All Eyes on Her. Universal Pictures announces Britney Spears biopic. This article was written by Amy Guerin on September 1st. Oh Baby Baby, a Britney Spears biopic is on its way. In early August, Universal Pictures announced its plan to adapt Spears' autobiography, The Woman in Me. The project will be directed by Wicked's John Chu and produced by La La Land's Mark Platt. The movie's announcement has set social media users into a frenzy, with rumors about who will portray Spears and discussions about how her story should be handled. Universal Pictures has kept a tight lip about the project, with no set release date nor an official cast list. The Princess of Pop. The Princess of Pop, Britney Spears, has been making waves in pop culture since she debuted over 20 years ago. She's a defining artist of the early 2000s and a driving force in the return of teen pop. Her album, Oops, I Did It Again, held a 15-year record in the U.S. for being the fastest-selling album by a female artist, and with 150 million records sold worldwide, she's one of the best-selling artists of all time. Outside of music, Spears is known for her iconic fashion style, her philanthropy, and being an overall icon to millions around the world. But Britney's life hasn't just been glitz and glamour. From her tumultuous public breakup with Justin Timberlake to intense media harassment, her life has had its fair share of ups and downs. For years, she was attacked by paparazzi who swarmed her for photos and had sensational articles tarnish her reputation. After having her personal problems broadcasted to the world, she eventually had a public mental breakdown in 2008 and was put into a legal conservatorship. The media continued to exploit her, photographing her at her lowest and consistently pumping out articles that portrayed her as an unstable mess. Britney's life has been a continuous source of speculation from fans and critics alike. For years, she didn't have a say in her story and was kept in a conservatorship that took away her personal freedom and allowed her father to control every aspect of her life, including things as mundane as her diet. Britney's elusiveness made the public desperate to hear her story in her own words. Britney's Renaissance. Released in October of 2023, The Woman in Me is Britney Spears' autobiography detailing her childhood, rise to megastardom, and the events that led to her conservatorship. 3 years before the book's release, the Free Britney movement was gaining traction on social media, with users pointing out the abusive conditions of her conservatorship and demanding that action was taken to free her. 2021 saw the release of Framing Britney Spears, a documentary that detailed how the media's long mistreatment of Britney led to her eventual breakdown. Britney reportedly didn't like the documentary, since it showed her embarrassing moments. But regardless, the documentary brought more attention to the movement. In June of that year, Britney released a statement in which she thanked the movement for giving her the courage to fight back, and she announced the court proceedings to remove her from the conservatorship. On November 12, 2021, after 13 years of being in a conservatorship, Britney Spears was finally freed. After much anticipation, The Woman in Me was released and sold 1.1 million copies in the U.S. its first week, and was the second best-selling memoir of 2023. Spears told Variety, "I poured my heart and soul into my memoir, and I am grateful to my fans and readers around the world for their unwavering support." The book was praised for shedding insight into the ups and downs of Britney's life and contributed to a larger conversation about the mistreatment of women in the entertainment industry. After a highly competitive auction by studios, Universal Studios won the right to the book on August 1, 2024. Shortly after, they announced their plans to adapt the story into a feature film, covering the book's plot from Spears' childhood to her newfound freedom. The Woman in Me. The Woman in Me opens with Britney describing her grandmother, Emma Jean Forbes, and the tragic outcome of her life. After the death of Forbes' three-day-old baby, she fell into a deep depression and was institutionalized by her husband. In the mental hospital, she was forced to take lithium and eventually ended her life. Spears notes that tragedy runs in her family, and this anecdote about her grandmother foreshadows the mental health struggles Britney would later deal with in her life. Britney then goes over her childhood, including problems with her family, such as her father's alcoholism. She describes how her father would often leave the family for weeks, and how her mother would drink with her when Britney was only 13. She recounts the start of her career at 11 and her rise to fame as a teenage icon. Spears also notes that while she was marketed as being an innocent girl, she'd been a smoker since the age of 14 and had numerous relationships with boys prior to her fame. The book describes tumultuous relationships in Britney's life, namely her public one with Justin Timberlake, and the media storm that followed their breakup, with the press blaming her. She describes her first marriage, motherhood, and how her postpartum depression was amplified by the paparazzi's harassment. After her mental breakdown in 2008, she almost lost total contact with both her sons and was forced to undergo mental health evaluations. Britney was sent to a mental hospital and forced to take lithium against her will, the same medication her grandmother had taken. At the same time, Britney was put into a conservatorship, with her estranged father having total control over her life. At times, Britney feared that her family would kill her and lamented over how she no longer had the freedom to be herself. The book ends with Britney describing the Free Britney movement and how it gave her the courage to get a lawyer and fight for her freedom. Spears then expressed hope for her future and noted that after being released from the conservatorship, she felt a sense of rebirth. The story covers the extreme highs and lows associated with megastardom, all made worse by complicated family problems. Britney's story is a cautionary tale that shows how the media can build up a person only to break them down. But her story is also about a woman finding her inner strength and fighting for her freedom. Casting. Currently, there's no official information surrounding the cast of the biopic. Fans have suggested everyone from Millie Bobby Brown to Addison Rae. One of the biggest rumors is that Emma Roberts will play Spears, with Roberts describing the role as her true dream. Other fans have suggested that instead of casting an A-list actress, casting directors should consider giving the role to a lesser-known actress to depict Spears' story. Conclusion. With the influx of singer biopics coming out in recent years, it's no wonder why Universal would be so eager to adapt Britney's story into a movie. Britney Spears is a star who still has appeal decades after her debut, something not many other celebrities could achieve. With the success of The Woman in Me, there's no doubt that her upcoming biopic will be a box office success. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Chapel Roan explained why she told off a VMA's red carpet photographer. This article was written by Skyly Alvarez on September 12th. For Chapel Roan, VMA's 2024 brought forth many firsts: a fiery award show debut, 2 nominations, and being knighted as this year's Best New Artist. However, it also spurred a tense exchange with a photographer on the red carpet. As the musician posed in head-to-toe Joan of Arc-esque garb at the beginning of the night, a photographer shouted, "Shut the F up!" in Roan's direction. With her back towards the press, she wagged her finger and immediately returned, "You shut the F up," followed by a frank, "Not me, bitch." The interaction came right after her first Rolling Stone cover story, in which she called out invasive fans and spoke on the very issue that unfolded on the red carpet. "They need to see me as a random bitch on the street. You can't yell at a random bitch who's on the sidewalk that you don't know," Roan told the publication. Just last month, the musician got candid on TikTok to decry parasocial abuse and harassment from followers and paparazzi who too readily cross boundaries and stalk her whereabouts. "I don't care that this crazy type of behavior comes along with the job, the career field I've chosen. That does not make it okay," she said in the video series. The pre-VMA's interaction spurred rumors and mixed responses online, but afterwards, Roan spoke with Entertainment Tonight to clear up all the hearsay. "This is quite overwhelming and quite scary. For someone who gets a lot of anxiety around people yelling at you, the carpet is horrifying, and I yelled back," she admitted to the news source. Fans and musicians alike also took to social media to express their support. "Way to stand up for yourself," Noah Kahan tweeted to Roan, recalling his own unfortunate past paparazzi experiences. Fortunately for Roan, the night ended not with martyrdom, but with an unforgettable performance. Flames and swords abound, and a heartfelt speech she dedicated to all the queer and trans people that fuel pop all around. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138.